After a hilarious celebration on the train, Roy slept restlessly. The Knights had come out of Sportsman's Park after trouncing the cards and making it an even dozen in a row without a loss. Roy was once again the king of the clouders, whose sensational hitting, pulverizing every kind of pitching, more than made up for his slump. When the diner opened in the morning, he put away an enormous breakfast and afterwards found himself some privacy in a half-empty coach near the engine. For a while he stared at the scattered outskirts of the city they were passing through, but in reality he was wondering whether to read the fat letter from Iris Lemon he had been carrying around in his suit pocket. Roy recalled the night on the lake shore, the long swim, the fire, and after. The memory was not unpleasant, but what for the love of mud had made her take him for a sucker who would be interested in a grandmother? It was simple enough to him. If he got serious with her, it could only lead to one thing, him being a grandfather. God save him from that. That was what he told himself as the train sped east, and though he had a slight bellyache, he fell into a sound sleep. He awoke with Memo on his mind. To his wonder, she turned up in his room in Boston the next night. Memo laughingly said she had been visiting a girlfriend's summer place on the Cape, and had heard the boys were in town, so she stopped off to say hello. His face must have shown more than he intended, because she turned to the window and said, "Roy, don't bawl me out for not seeing you for a while. There are some things I just can't take, and one of them is being with people who are blue. That's why I had to stand off to the side and wait until you had worked out of it. Now here I am, the first chance I got, and that is the way it used to be between Bump and me." Roy said soberly, "When are you going to find out that I ain't Bump, Memo?" "Don't be mad," she said, lifting her face to him. She was close and warm-breathed. He caught her in his arms and she snuggled tight, but when he tried to edge her to the bed, she broke for air and said no. "Why not?" he demanded. "I'm not well," said Memo. He was suspicious. "What's wrong?" Memo laughed. "Sometimes you are very innocent, Roy. When a girl says she is not well, does she have to draw you a map?" The Knights took their three in Boston and the next day won a twi-night doubleheader in Ebbets Field, making it 17 straight wins on the comeback climb. They were within two of the Phils, who had been nip and tucking it all season with the Cards and Dodgers. The Pirates were still in first place, two games ahead of the Phils. Roy had a date with Memo coming up, but he was lonely for her one night, so he went up to the fourth floor and rang her buzzer. She opened the door, dressed in black lounging pajamas with a black ribbon tied around her horsetail of red hair. Memo's face lit in a slow blush. "Why, Roy," she said, and seemed not to know what else to say.